Acts chapter 18. He says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked by occupation. They were tent makers. In other words, Paul was a tent maker as well as Aquila and Priscilla. He reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greek. And when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshiped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. He said, do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in the city. He continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you. God, we're so thankful that we know that you are in this room. Your people have gathered together to hear from the Spirit of God, not to hear from a man, but that the Word of God would come alive today in their heart. God, I know that you have a message for these people. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would speak that message with clarity. God, that nothing would hinder the voice of God today in this service, that you would have your perfect will with each one of us in this service. Now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You know, a little later in the book of Acts, it says that, who was the guy that was so eloquent? Apollos came and he began to preach. And it was Aquila and Priscilla that came alongside him. And the Bible says they taught him the more excellent way. They began to teach Apollos things that he did not know. And I always wonder where they figured that out. Wonder where did they learn that? And this chapter tells you. Paul lived with Aquila and Priscilla for a year and a half because they were all tent makers. So why he was speaking to the city of Corinth and working and starting a church there, every night they would go back home. And as ministers, when we have a minister here, many times if they need a place to stay, if they're staying overnight, we just invite them to our house rather than putting them in a motel. And Trima and I love entertaining ministers. And we'll stay up way too late hearing stories. So I just can imagine how Paul day by day was teaching Aquila and Priscilla a more excellent way. And then what did they do? They taught Apollos. And it continued because Apollos began to preach the word of God, right? So isn't that what's supposed to happen today in the church? So Tuesday morning, Bob was whining as usual, but the rest of us were praying. Get you back just a little bit. And I'm teasing him, of course. And we were all praying, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said these words. He said, I am still slaying giants. I am still slaying giants. And when he spoke that word to me, I knew immediately that that was my Sunday sermon. I just didn't know exactly how. And just like a little kid, I've really not grown up that much. I just started pouting, and I thought, I don't want to preach on David and Goliath, God. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, look at Acts 18, and you'll find your sermon there. I'll reveal it to you. But I knew that when you talked about Goliath or talked about giants, you had to talk about David and Goliath. So the story starts in 1 Samuel 17, where David is a very young man. He is just a shepherd boy. He's probably 14, 15, 16, somewhere along there. Samuel has already anointed him to be the king over Israel, but that's probably 15 years down in the future still yet. So his father comes to him. All of his brothers are in the army. And his father comes to David. And he said, "Son, take this food to your brothers and give it to them." And so David heads to where the army is stationed. And he gives his food, gives the food to his brothers and tells them, I'm sure, everything that his dad wanted them to tell. And at that time, a giant stepped out of the crowd from the Philistines and began to defile the God of Israel, the God that we serve. And he said, if there's a man that's willing to fight me, bring him out. And if I kill him, you'll serve me. You'll serve us. But if he kills me, we will serve you. In other words, there's not a reason for all of us to die. There's only one person that has to die today. And so he kept giving this threat. And every time he gave this threat, the Bible says that all the men of Israel were just shaking in their boots. They would run and hide from this man who was 9'9". Now that would be intimidating, wouldn't it? Just like Satan. Satan comes to you, Peter tells us, Satan comes as a roaring lion. Doesn't say he is a lion, it says he's as a roaring lion. See, Satan tries to intimidate you to get you to back up off the Word of God. To get you to where he doesn't have to defeat you, you'll defeat yourself because you give up on the promises of God. So Satan is the great intimidator. Goliath was a giant of intimidation, and he would be by sheer size. But all of a sudden, David, I think from the bottom of his feet, this righteous indignation just started coming up in him. And I think when he heard him speak against his God, all of a sudden he said, I'll fight him. I'm not afraid of that giant. And his brothers started chiding him. You arrogant little cuss. Go back home to your daddy's sheep. But he wouldn't stop. And he said these words. He said, is there not a cause? And I think those words need to be spoke to the church today. I think too many Christians are saying, I can't wait for the ball to drop this year because 2020 is nothing but a failure. 2020 is nothing but defeat. So let's just get out of Dodge. Let's just get this year over. And I want to say to you, is there not a cause? Is God still God in 2020? And I believe that he is. And I believe that he wants to redeem this year. I went back in my sermons because I remember preaching the first couple of weeks of 2020 about vision, as probably every preacher in America preached 2020 vision, right, for this year. But I said something to you that I recognized wasn't me, but it was God. And it was this. You're going to have to be intentional about this year. And we have forgotten. Folks, we have been beat up. We're bleeding. We're just like the guy on the Samaritan road. We're laying by the side of the road, half dead. And it's time that we allow the Holy Ghost to come alongside of us, pour in the oil and the wine, and let's bring some healing and fight back to the church. There is a cause. Goliath spoke and he says, I'm going to destroy you today, you little runt. And I'm going to feed your body to the birds. That's the Kelleher version. And David said this. He said, you come to me with a sword a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the mighty name of our God, the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth, the God of the armies of Israel. Do you know who is who's the leader of the army of Israel? His name is Jesus, right? Whom you have defiled. And he ends with this word. He says, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. All of you know the story that David took a stone and he slung it and he hit that giant right between the eyes and it knocked him out. I don't believe it killed him. I believe it knocked him out. And that little gutsy dude went up to him, took Goliath's sword and cut Goliath's head off with his own sword. I can see him holding it up. Woo, boys, look at here. I'll tell you how to get ahead in life right here. And at that point, energy and fire and courage hit the soldiers of Israel. And they begin to charge, and the people of the Philistines begin to run in defeat. I am looking for that same power and energy to hit the church of the living God today. I believe the enemy is going to be defeated, and I believe it starts today. I believe God is here to do miracles today in this service. That's what he spoke to me. So God spoke to Paul in a vision. And here's what I saw that I felt like the Lord wanted us to extrapolate from this portion of Scripture. He told Paul, he says, Paul, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. In the middle of the night, I was woke up. And I heard these words, fear is futuristic thinking. See, most of the things that we get afraid of, that we are fearing, is in the future. It's things that we think are going to happen. Satan is playing with your mind. And he's telling you, you can't do what's ahead of you. And God says today, you need to live in the moment. I'm the God of the moment. I'm the God of 2020. I'm the God of November 1st. Today, don't worry about tomorrow. I'll take care of that when you get there. I may preach a little harder than what I thought, Bob. I'm going to tell you, this one just stirs me up. Psalms 27 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? What you got, devil? I can tell you, no matter what you can muster, it's not anything compared to God. Bring your best game, devil, because it won't stand up before him. He's the mighty one, the Lord of hosts. Thank you, Jesus. I know every Christian, every child of God deals with fear. You can tell me how strong you are. Oh, I don't fear. Oh, get over yourself. You do too. I do. You do. The greatest saint in the world still deals with fear. The psalmist, David, said this, what time I'm afraid. In other words, David dealt with fear. What time I'm afraid, I'll trust in you. I choose to trust in you. I'm not going to try to figure out how you're going to work it out. I choose to trust you. It may not happen the way I think, but I know you can take care of my tomorrow. Amen. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. And then Paul wrote to his spiritual son in 2 Timothy. He said, son, he said, God's not giving you that spirit of fear. Would you please look at me? God's not giving you that spirit of fear. You get it? Josh, God's not giving you that spirit of fear. Larry, God's not giving you a spirit of fear. Sandy, God's not giving you that spirit of fear. Eric, God's not giving you that spirit of fear. But he does give you a spirit. He gives you the spirit of power. We're not defeated. You get me? 2020, hear me roar. We're not defeated. The church of God is unstoppable. We are the restraining force of this world today because the Holy Ghost is in us. It's not us. It's Him in us. We have power. We have love. Love conquers all. We have love. And we have a sound mind. Bless God, I had to stand on that one time in my life. Feel pretty lonely up here right now. God bless you, Pastor. That's a good sermon. I don't care how they look at you. The second thing that he told Paul, he says, Paul, don't be afraid. He says this. He says, speak. Speak and do not be silent. I believe that's a word of God for us today. You know what? If we're going to get out of this thing alive, it's going to be because we're talking. Not what we think, not my intellectual ability. It's the word of God coming out of my mouth. The word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword. In other words, it's just as sharp when it comes out of my mouth as it was when Jesus spoke it. The word of God is effective. It's highly effective. Jesus defeated Satan through the word, and you're going to do the same thing. Would you quit trying to reason with him? Well, devil, if you'll just leave me alone, I promise I'll be quiet. Awake up. Awake, O Zion. You are mighty. It's like the church is made up of bodybuilders who don't know it. In the spirit, you look like Arnold Schwarzenegger 20 years ago, not today. You know, I am convinced that Samson was probably a scrawny little guy. Because if he had been this big old hunk of a man, he would have thought he was doing it. But the Bible says the Spirit of God came upon him. I don't care your stature. Ladies, don't believe that you're less than. You're not. You're mighty in God. You get it? He says, speak and do not keep silent. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he says, have faith in God. Some of the versions will say, have the faith of God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and he does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you'll have them. Folks, that's not my words. That's his words. Jesus spoke that. Now, I think you need to settle in your heart, either Jesus is a liar or he's speaking truth all the time. If he told me, if I would believe in my heart and I speak to that mountain will begin to shake and move into the sea. So when I speak to a sickness, I expect it to leave. You just remember this, God's not a respecter of people. God doesn't elevate somebody and put the other one down. We're all even at the foot of the cross. It's to him who will believe. Most of the time when Jesus comes to somebody, he says, be it unto you even as your faith. You have what you believe. Will you believe? Will you trust God more than man? Will you trust God more than politicians? Every one of them lie. John chapter 14, verse 12. I bet this won't stay on Facebook. John 14, 12 through 14. He says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the work that I do, he'll do also. And greater works than these he will do. Because I go to the Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That may be one of the hardest scriptures to comprehend or to believe in the Bible. Jesus looked at his disciples, and I believe we are his disciples. He looked at us and he says, you're going to do the same thing that I've done. And then he gives them one better. He says, not only will you do the works that I have done, you're going to do greater works. How could he say that? The next thing he spoke to the disciples was so mind-blowing. He says, guys, it's better for you if I leave. What? You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We know who you are. You are the Messiah. How can you tell us it's going to be better if you leave? He said, because I'm going to send one of the like kind. I'm going to send to you the Holy Spirit, and he will dwell in you. And he'll be in China, as Russia, as America, and every nation, every tribe, every tongue can know the power of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, because he is in us, greater works will he do. He says, if you'll ask anything in my name, I'll do it. And that's brave words spoken by a brave man, Jesus Christ. James comes alongside years later, half-brother of Jesus, and he says, you have not because you ask not. But I'm going to tell you something. I just want to take that one off the table. When I get to heaven, Jesus may say, if you just prayed more faith, you would have had more. But here's what I do not want him to say. You just didn't ask me. So I'm going to tell you, I'm asking. Jesus, I need. Jesus, I need. Jesus, I want to see this. Jesus, I want to see that. Jesus, I speak to that mountain. Jesus, I speak to this city. Let's not leave things on the table that he's already paid for us. I'm going to preach myself happy, and you can sit there if you want to. You know, sometimes we're just speaking the wrong things. He said, shut the fear down and start speaking. I want you to know there's a miracle in your mouth. You get it? Too many Christians got lockjaw. You know why? Because we ain't got over number one yet. Do not be afraid. See, I don't want to step out there in faith. I might look like a fool. Well, guess what? It's okay to look like a fool for Jesus. You look like a fool before. How many of you had a beer in one hand, smoking a joint in another, and you think that's cool? I think we need to figure out what a fool looks like. To me, somebody that's speaking the word of God, even though they don't have it, that doesn't look foolish to me. Somebody walking around with a beer in their hand, halfway intoxicated, chasing women, that looks like a fool. Glory to God, that's good preaching. I wish that was preached in every church house in America. Amen. Then God gives Paul a promise, and he says, Paul, I want you to know they can't put a hand on you because I am with you. Do you understand? You have a similar promise in Hebrews 13. He says, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. Are you letting this stuff get in you? Let your face show it. I'm telling you, that's powerful. You're not on your own. You're not alone. You don't have to figure everything out. You understand you have a helper. Right. Do you know when God created Eve for Adam, he called her a helper, a helpmeet? I'm going to give you somebody, Adam, that's going to help you. Do you realize when Jesus went away, he said something very similar to the church? He said, I will send you the helper. I will send you a paraclete, someone who's got your backside. See, the trouble with the church today is we're trying to do everything by ourselves. We're not living in dependence upon him. We're going to seminary. We're trying to figure everything out. We're studying the Word of God rather than just walking in faith. God, your Word said this. I'll go to hell believing it. Last thing I believe that we need to do, and that's put on our spiritual armor. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 13, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I want you to understand God did not create a weak church. It is not his will for you to be weak. If you're weak, it's because you're not eating. Change your diet. I love this statement that this guy made at the men's encounter. He said, turn the television off and turn Facebook off. That was good, wasn't it? You wonder where all that fear comes from? CNN, MSN, CBC, ABC, Facebook. It's feeding your fear. Even Fox News. I know you Christians love Fox News. Bless God, if you'd spend half the time in the Word that you do on Fox News, we would be giants. We'd be looking at Goliath saying, what you want, boy? He says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. I've said it many, many times. The devil has a plan for your life. See, we love to quote Jeremiah 29:11 that says, God has a plan to prosper you, but so does the devil. It's just not a plan to prosper you. It's a plan to kill, steal, and destroy you. This world out here, every time something bad happens to them, the world looks at Christians and says, why is God allowing that? Because of Adam's sin, I'll tell you. It's the sin that causes destruction in your life, and we're living allowing the devil full access to us. It's time we get the armor up. Come on, gear up, let's get to battle. He says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Your problem is not the people around you. Now, maybe Satan is using them, but you don't fight them. You fight the spirit. He says, we're fighting against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand and withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. He says, gird your waist with truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them by truth, is what John 17:17 says. Thy word is truth. Around your middle should be the word of God. In other words, everything hooks on, every piece of armor that he talks about hooks on to the belt. The word of God is so vitally important for the believer, and you got to blow the dust off of it to even read it. I'll wake you up one of these days. Number two is the breastplate of righteousness. That righteousness is not your righteousness. Isaiah said, your righteousness is its filthy rags. But Corinthians, Paul says that the he who knew no sin took your sin and he gave you his righteousness. We stand righteous in God's sight because of Jesus. We're covered in his blood. So he says, make sure the breastplate, the thing that's covering your vital organs, is the righteousness of God. And then he says, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Jesus said when he left, he said, my peace I give unto you. Take the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. It seems today to me that every dart lands. Everything that is spoken to Christians, they believe. They come to me so often saying, well, this is happening in my life, and somebody said I wasn't pretty. Are you getting it? Every fiery dart that he sends your way is hitting your head. Why is that? Because you don't have your armor on. Get your shield up. Put it up. And when the devil throws something at you, say, back at you, Satan. Not in this house. I wish Christians would get some guts about them. We need to talk to them like athletes. Get it out of my house, big boy. Not in this house. Joshua said it. You guys need to choose who you'll serve, but I'm going to tell you something. As for me and my house, we're serving God. Do you hear that? Do you hear the... It's just, man, he just knew. I'm not backing up. I've made my choice, and I am going forward. And 2020, I will not concede in this year. The sword of the Spirit, and that's the only offensive weapon we have, and that is the Word of God. Zechariah 4:6 says, it's not by might or power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. In Acts chapter 5, the same chapter, 18, verse 5, says Paul was compelled by the Spirit. Paul was compelled by the Spirit. Why was Paul so powerful? Because it wasn't Paul. It was the Spirit of God in him. It was the same Spirit that's in you. Is the Holy Spirit strong in you? Well, if you're not convinced of it, I'm not convinced of it either. But I'm going to tell you something. This is a Pentecostal church. Where has the fire gone? Your wood is wet. There was a day when people was rolling on the floor. And they called them holy rollers. There was a day when ladies walked like chickens. Because the Holy Ghost got on them. I'm going to tell you, we need a little bit of that Holy Ghost fire because the enemy's not backing up. Now, I'm not asking you to walk or row, okay? I'm just saying, let's get some of the fire of the Holy Ghost. Let's lay hold of the promises of God, which are yea and amen. You know what? If we took that plug in and we just pull that wire out of there, I said, Josh, go grab hold of those wires. It'd be an exciting moment for him. Well, I'm going to tell you, when you grab hold of the Holy Ghost, you might shake just a little bit. Might be a little something flowing through your being. But we're so cautious on how we look. You know what? I just don't care anymore. I tell you what I want to look like. I want to look triumphant. I want to look like I'm conquering, not I'm conceding. And you can concede 2020 if you want to. You can have the attitude, oh, come on, just drop the ball. Not me. I got 2 more months. And I'm claiming victory in these next 2 months. Revelation 12, verse 11 says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Many of you have heard me say, if I was writing that scripture, if the Lord had used me to write this scripture, there is no way I would have went on after the blood of the Lamb. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, and I would have stopped. It would have took a move of God to make me write the next sentence. And it's the Holy Ghost, folks. John penned it, but the Holy Ghost wrote it. And the word of your testimony. Yeah. What's he saying? He's saying, speak to your mountain. You're not going to get out of this thing alive until you start talking. Amen. It's not time for the church to be silent. It's time for the church to find their voice. Yes. Do you realize we have a possibility in America to undo what was done in 73, killing our babies. Every child of God ought to be on their face before God saying, let it be, let it be, let it be. God, invoke that thing. Victory will not come because you take control. See, that's what everybody says. You need to take control of the situation. No, you do not. You know, the truth of the matter is you just get your hands off of it. And turn control over to Him. Let God be in control. You take the back seat this time. Let Him drive the boat, or ship, car, go-kart. I don't care what you're in. God wants to use you today. You hear that? Do you realize you are God's voice in America? If the people of Paris is going to hear the gospel message, it's going to come through people just like you. Through His church. The people that you work with are going to hell. Not all of them. But I'll guarantee you probably some of them are. Do you care? If you care, speak up. I know that there is this lie that everybody knows. No, they don't. They don't. Not even in Paris, Tennessee. You know, there's a good part of Paris, Tennessee that all they know is religion. They really don't know about Jesus. Don't talk to them about religion. Don't even talk to them about Bridge of Hope. Talk to them about Jesus. My son was preaching on the streets of Europe one time, and they just told him, they said, get up there and preach. And he just jumped on a box and started preaching. I said, what did you say? And he said, I said, I'm the happiest man in the world. Because Jesus Christ lives in me. Amen. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everyone has a testimony. You know, someone needs to hear yours. There's someone that will listen to you that won't listen to me. Lots of people won't listen to me. I don't get it. You know, I'm a preacher. They expect things out of me. Yeah, I expect you to talk about Jesus all the time. But when you start talking about Jesus, they take notice.
That's right, they do.
Do you remember there's a portion in Scripture when it's talking about the disciples that says this? They recognized that these men had been with Jesus. I just wonder if anybody that you work with recognized that you've been with Jesus. You know, when you leave church on Sunday, you ought to be fired up. You ought to be ready to kick the devil in the teeth. You ought to be ready to speak to a mountain. You ought to be ready to receive a miracle. John 10:10 said, Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy. And he does a good job. But I have come. The words of Jesus. But I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. Have it abundant. If you are here in this room today and you can say, honestly say, my life is not abundant, I want you to know you're not in God's will. God's will is that you have abundant life. Now, whose fault is it? Well, God just don't like me. God's better to you than he is to me. No, that doesn't line up with Scripture. He doesn't respect people. He respects faith. It's faith that pleases God. Will you take the word and believe it? Will you take the word and believe it? And if you do, speak it. Start speaking the word of God over you, over your family, over your friends, over your workplace. If you'd quit calling that place you work a bunch of hellmongers, maybe things would change. When I first took over senior citizens in Murray, they were so far in debt, we didn't have enough money to make the second payroll. So I got to where every morning when I'd go to work, the sign was over the door, senior citizens. I'd walk in work and I'd raise my hands, God bless this place. And I told the board, the first board meeting, I said, I'm speaking blessings on this place. They voted me a raise. They couldn't afford to give me a raise, but they voted me a raise because they knew that they had the right person in the place because he was speaking blessings, not curses. What are you speaking? Change your words. Change your life. I told the crowd this morning, there's a miracle in your life, in your mouth. There's a miracle in your mouth. If you'll start speaking the word, would you stand with me? I promise you that this is not my sermon today. This is the sermon that he told me to preach to you. He knows your hearts. I don't know your heart. But he does. And he spoke these words. I'm still slaying giants. Do you have a giant in your life? Maybe it could be a giant of fear. Maybe it's a giant of sickness. Maybe it's a giant of unbelief. You remember the man in the Bible whose son was sick and Jesus looked at him and said, only believe. And he said, Lord, help my unbelief. That honest? Wasn't that honest? You know, Jesus didn't rebuke him. He healed his son. He helped his unbelief. Let me give you a little encouragement here, boy. I'll just heal your son so that your faith will be stronger. You know, nothing takes him by surprise. You know, God knows the beginning of your days and the end of your days. Thank God you don't. I don't want to know the end of my days. Live in the moment. Fear is futuristic. The devil is the one trying to get you to figure out what's going to happen next week, next month, next year. Just live in the moment. Just trust him. He's got you by the hand and and he will walk you into your future. I promise you, that's a word from the Lord for somebody. If you need a miracle, I'm going to ask that you would just come forward. Would you just come forward and stand up here? We may pray for some of you, but you'll probably be praying for yourself. Folks, don't leave here without getting your miracle. Ray, would you come and just end Facebook for us, Facebook friends? I hope that you pray in your living room today. If we're still together, we may be off Facebook right now, but I pray that you receive this word from the Lord and that you believe for a miracle. We'll be believing for you. We're going into an altar service. We just need a moment in the Lord. So God bless you. Have a good day. Trust God. Would you come?